before us? Who can be against us? I want to talk from this particular thought. I'm keeping my cool. I'm keeping my cool. If you don't mind, just tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, regardless of what happens, I'm going to keep my cool. Now, if you're really going to do that, say amen. Amen. Some of us not don't do that. Amen. But if you're going to do that, you should keep your cool. Amen. It's interesting that we would say that, and at the same time, in the same context, my brothers and sisters, I wish that I could stand here this morning and tell you that life will be easily navigated. And it's interesting that in church, that as we have been satisfied, sanctified, and set aside, that we also have to deal with troubles in this life. As a matter of fact, a great deal of your relationship with the church and your growth and progression in the faith will help you to deal with how to navigate those difficult seasons of life. You know what they are. There are those times in life where you feel like giving up. You feel frustrated. You feel disappointed, let down, and sometimes let go of. I wish I had a witness here. And we would wish that in life, that as a believer, because we have put our trust in God, we would like to believe that we're able somehow to escape pain, problems, and even persecution. But we learn very quickly, don't we, that in this experience called life and this experience called Christian, that we will undoubtedly, without fail, have our brushes and our encounters with sickness ourselves. You will have grief. You will have heartache. You will face loss, trial, temptation, and pain. You will experience sin, and you will have enemies of which you may not have done anything to cause. You will have to deal ultimately with that rascal called Satan. You know who he is, don't you? Someone says that he's always on our trail, trying to turn us back, but we've cried too long. We prayed too hard, spent too many sleepless nights and wrestling and tossing in the word to turn around now. And so all of those things that would happen to us in life would seem to be sometimes insurmountable. The opposition that's before somebody today, you're looking at it and you're saying, I don't see how. I don't understand how I'm going to get through this, get past this, and some get over this. But I come to tell you today that God has a word from heaven to remind you that regardless of what the opposition is, he's greater than anything that's against us. Here you are on today. You may feel that in this place, that you're in the middle of those encounters, that all is lost. And somebody may be looking for the white flag to wave, to suggest that you have surrendered to the pressure of your enemies and the opposition. But can I just tell you that before you do that today, can you at least hear the word of God through the Spirit of God as it will seek to remind you to keep standing, to keep your head, to keep fighting, and to keep your cool. Coolness under pressure. It's a hard thing sometimes, isn't it? It's easy when life is flowing well to keep your cool and to keep a level head. But how do we function and operate when things are chaotic and there's confusion in our lives? Do we separate and isolate and sometimes instigate? Or do we make our way to a posture prayer, seek counsel from the word of God, surround ourselves with those who are going to encourage us, and keep driving forward? Well, I love this text because the Apostle Paul, he gives us some major insight concerning our relationship with God through Christ in this great chapter 8. locked in this verse 31, there is some aiding assurance so that you and I can see that when we are frustrated and agitated, it's what is initiated and illuminated that keeps us from being eliminated. Now, let me say that again. When you are frustrated and agitated, it is always what is initiated and illuminated in your life that will keep you from being eliminated. Now, I say that to help you to understand that there are some things in life, if you're not careful, will push you over the edge. There are some people that know the right buttons to push. Y'all want to talk to me in here? That they know how to get you in an uproar and then laugh when they get you upset. And you got to understand that when you are at that moment of frustration and agitation, you have to initiate and illuminate something in your life. Otherwise, you're going to be eliminated. You're going to be eliminated from the position. You're going to be eliminated from the place, the posture that God has in order to bring you to the next level of blessing. And here's what you got to understand. We often run around quoting new level. New devil, y'all heard that. Well, the reason why you experience a new devil is because as you're increasing in strength, in order for him to be able to successfully try you, he has to come with a greater level of opposition. That's why yesterday's prayers won't work today. That's why yesterday's Bible study won't work for today. You've got to grow and keep illuminating and initiating so that you won't be eliminated. The problem is with most of us, when we have pain and problems, that's when we are choose the absence of fellowship with the body. That's when we separate and isolate ourselves from the study of God's word and the prayer that we need to have to grow. But don't you know that it's in those moments where you grow the most? Think about it this way. If you go to the gym, like Brother Tink, and you're in the gym and you're hitting all those weights like him and Brother Strong, they don't get where they are in their strength by lifting 5 and 10 pound dumbbells. They may have started there many years ago, but in order to grow in your strength, you've got to challenge yourself and experience some pain in your lifting if you're going to gain strength. Let me help you understand how that applies to your spiritual walk. Too many of us are in the gym, and all we're doing is lifting those 5 pounds. But every time somebody say, why don't you get on that bench? You say, well, that looks a little heavy. But don't you know that getting under those weights sometimes is exactly what God has prescribed in order to grow you and strengthen you? And let me tell you that God doesn't need any more weak Christians. The world is changing too rapidly. Things are changing so fast. It doesn't need people who come and spend 2 hours at church and leave the same way they came and are not praying and are not studying during the week, and you're waiting on the preacher to feed you. You got to initiate and illuminate some stuff in your life in order to keep you from being eliminated. Here's what we have to understand. To keep our cool in a heated up furnace. Can you imagine those Hebrew boys in a heated up furnace? And then the Bible says that they heated up 7 times hotter than it normally. That means that there was an intent to really destroy them. But how do you handle when you're in those moments where life has turned up the temperature and the stakes are much higher, and there you are and you're challenged to keep your cool, to not let them see you sweat, and to keep going by faith? It's a difficult place if you have not conditioned yourself for where you presently are. And here's what Paul helps us to understand, that when we have gone through falls, when we're experiencing pain in our lives, there are some things we must always remember that give us strength daily as we walk through. The first thing that I saw in this text that helps us to keep our cool is that you need to know that the Creator is consistently in your corner. It's in the text, he says that if God be for us, you just need to let that sink in for just a minute. Here it is, not your homeboy, because your homeboy told you he was going to be there and he left you. Sister girl told you she was going to be there with you always, but you can't find her today. She don't answer your texts. She doesn't respond to your Facebook, Twitter, none of that. She cut you off. So you have to depend upon someone who is consistently there. Now, when I let this sink in, this is not my homeboy, but this is the creator of the universe, the one who spoke heaven and earth into existence, and there they were. The one who said, let us make man, and there he came. Breathe into him the breath of life, and there he was. Broken, opened his womb, and he brought out a woman and said, here is your wife. That's the one that you are in relationship with. He says to us, if God be for us. That didn't really hit home to somebody. Everybody else has been against you. And you feel that everything else is against you. But it says, if God be for us. It really was hard for me to grasp this at first, because when I consider who I am, I say, why would God create a holy, righteous, want anything to do with me, wretched, sinful creature that I am? God be for us. God be with us. And really what Paul is saying is not if God, as a way of saying it is a conditional statement, but really what he says, since God is for us, because God is for us, he says that as God is for us, we see that is a statement of position. He says that God is positioned and aligned with you and I. I thank God for that, because there are times when people are at a disalignment with us. People stand in opposition to us, but thanks be to God that God says that I am with you. He says that he is aligned with us in our position. And not only that, but it's because of his love that he's there. Not because I've done everything to please him. Not because I have the absence of sin in my life, but in spite of that, God loves me and God is positioned in my favor. Then he says God is for meaning active. He's active in our direction, that God is moving toward us for good and blessing. Aren't you glad that God, he does not say God is against us. My brothers and sisters, if God were against you, it doesn't matter how many people were for you, you'd be in trouble. I'd rather have God for me and people against me and be living in a place of peace with him than to have everybody in the world on my side who can do me no good standing before him. And Paul said, God is for, he is moving in your direction, not to curse you, but to bless, to heal, deliver, and to rescue us. God is for in protection and favor. God is for in giving you blessing upon blessing. And then he says us, and not just me, myself and I. God is for everybody who's with him. God is no respecter of person. He does not say I'm with you and against you. But if you love God, God loves you and God is for you. Paul says we need to understand the Creator is consistently in our corner. It's good when you're in a fight to have somebody in your corner. No boxer takes the ring without having somebody in their corner. You don't go anywhere without having somebody have your back. Why? Because you understand the nature of protection is you have to have strength in numbers. And he says that God is for us. Anybody ever had your back against the wall? But you had to remind yourself, God is for me. God is for us. God is consistently. God does not change. The Hebrew writer said that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that God never moves in his position. You can't do anything to make God change his mind about the purpose in your life. You can't do anything to upset God's purpose in your life. He loves you, and that's the bottom line, and he is for you. Creator is consistently in our corner. That's who I celebrate. And when I consider that God is in my corner, it helps me to keep my cool in some hot situations. But not only is the Creator consistently in our corner, Paul challenges us to consider the context of our connection with him. He says in verse 31a, he says, what then shall we say to these things? What things, Paul? What are you talking about? Well, here's the reality. We have a present posture of peace with God because verse 1 says to us, there is there now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The first level of blessing, and Paul says these things, is understanding that you and I, who once were enemies of God, now in a present posture of peace because he chose to open a door and to bring us in. We didn't knock the door down. We didn't even knock on the door. He came outside the door, brought us into the house, all because he wanted us there. Paul says that we have present posture of peace. Listen, people, many people want the blessing and favor of God. We want the grace of God without the peace with God. You cannot have grace from God unless you have simultaneously experienced peace with God. What that means to us is you can't show up expecting all the blessings of God to flow your way and you're out of fellowship with him. You're not a son or daughter. It says that we have peace with God. Not only do we have this peace with God, we have the powerful performance of the Paraclete. Paul, in this chapter 8, has only briefly mentioned the presence and the Holy Spirit. But here in chapter 8 alone, there's 19 references to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Paul introduces with great clarity and power that there is a demonstration that's activated. Once you have peace with God, the overwhelming redemptive power of the Holy Spirit now encaptures your life and begins to move as God wants to conform you to the image of the Son, Jesus Christ. What does he say to us? He says these things include him changing our nature. Throughout chapter 8, he tells us that he changes our nature. He removes the power of sin in our lives. But not only does he do that, he makes those of us who are outsiders, he makes us sons and daughters and also heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Not only does he do that, he tells us of the glorious deliverance ahead, that after suffering and pain are over, he has a deliverance for us that we'll never have to experience those things again. He says, we wait for that day in the Holy Spirit who has sealed us with the holy, earnest expectation that one of these days, trouble and trial, regardless of how painful and traumatic they are now, will ultimately be over. He tells us that we have this hope living on the inside of us, that the Spirit of God there present does not ever allow to die. In other words, regardless of what you go through, you have expectation if you got the Spirit. That things will get better. That you will get out of and get over what you're experiencing today. But not only that, I love this because earlier we stood around the altar. Some of you were praying and some of you were not able to pray. But it's good to know that the Spirit's ministry in your life also includes him making intercession on your behalf. Paul tells us in this same chapter, he said that he who makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He makes intercession when we're not able to pray for ourselves. He searches the mind of the Spirit and makes intercession according to what is the will of God for all of the saints. So Paul said these things have been included in our understanding of God being for us. Our connection also brings us to the place that realizing there's those last few verses before 31 reveals to us is that as he has made us sons and heirs, and as he has given us hope and expectation, as he is the ultimate intercessor, Paul also tells us that he calls whom he has claimed and cleanses them in the process. He said that whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate, that they would become the sons of God. And then he said, whom he called, he justified. Listen, don't let anybody tell you that you're not what you need to be, because God says that you are if you've been justified. With all of the mess in your corner and in your closet, God still has a place in that same corner. And as long as the Holy Spirit is active and working in your life, you will get better and get over. Paul helps us to understand that we have these things, that even when we cannot fight for ourselves, God is fighting for us. God is holding your arms up, my sister and brother, in the middle of what you're going through today. And you want to frown and cry so bad, but can I challenge you? Just flash a smile. Because you know God is holding you up. And here it is, Paul says, to all of this aid and assistance that God is giving to us and all of his accompaniment of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, what is your response to these things that God is doing in your life? Well, he tells us that we ought to consider that the Creator is consistently in our corner. And then we ought to consider the context of our connection with Christ. But lastly, I leave you with this. Paul says that we ought to confront every challenge with confidence. Don't you know that when you face trial in your life, that confidence is half the battle? If you go into a fight believing you're going to lose, you've already lost. Before the first punch is thrown, you're already running for the hills. Don't you know, Paul says, he says you got to count the cost, but then you got to also count who's able to stand against you and God. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He leaves us with this last consideration. That's here in the verse. He says, if God is for us, what power, what principality, what person can stand in opposition to the elect of God without failure? In other words, he says that everything that seems to be against you, it will not stand. And I want to just poll the house. Have anybody seen some traps your enemies have set? And some plans your enemy had for you that God let you see fall in front of your face? Somebody said, if you're going to dig a ditch, you better dig two, because the first one you dug, it might be just for you. But can I tell you who the second ditch is for? That does not mean that the first ditch is for you to fall in. But that first ditch is for the one who initiated what you were trying to get over, and they were trying to make you fall in. And you know who that rascal is? His name is Satan. Do I have a witness here? I thank God that not even Satan himself is successful in subduing the saint. He brings charges against us. Have I got a witness here? He brings accusation. He brings and introduces sin and try to slander our name. But I thank God today that he cannot derail. He cannot diminish. He cannot dilute. He cannot destroy and defeat. He cannot kill the plan and purpose of God in your life. Have I got a witness here? Can I ask y'all a question? Does your faith picture outweigh your fear factor? Have I got a witness here? The psalmist says in Psalms 118 and 6, the Lord is on my side, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? I hear you saying today, well, I got some people in some places of power that are against me. I say to you again, the Lord is on your side. I will not fear. what man can do to me. Can I give you some advice from the Spirit? Quit entertaining and giving an audience to those things that would keep your fear higher than your faith. Stop letting people talk you down and talk you out of the will of God for your life. But just tell them, get behind me, Satan. I must be about my Father's business. I thank God when Satan brings upon us charges to disqualify us, I can remind him that it's only by the grace of God in my life that I am what I am. It's not because I've been so good, not because I did everything so well, but because God is on my side. Can I see the hands of witness of anybody in the house that know there have been times in your life where the chips were stacked against you and you were the only one in the room, it seemed. But just like the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, they threw in three. But I think somebody said when they looked in, there was somebody else got in the fire with them. Is there anybody here know that when you're in the fire, won't God get in the fire with you? I'm going to ask you one more time. If God is for you, who can be against you? What power can stand against God's people who turn their attention and their focus on pleasing him in the spirit? Go on, sister. Stand up, brother, and fight on the good fight of faith. All is not lost. This sickness is not unto death. You will recover because God is for you. Can I tell you, there have been times in my life I wanted to give up and quit, but I thank God that in those moments he held me close and he said, child, don't you worry and don't you fret. I will take care of you through every day, over all the way. Have I got a witness? God, he will take care of you. Say glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, I thank God. Slap somebody a high five and tell a neighbor, I don't know who it is or what it is that can defeat the God in me. You didn't slap no high five. I said, look at your neighbor and slap him a high five and say, I don't know what it is or where it is that can defeat the God in me. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody, nobody greater, nobody bigger than the God in me. Glory! Hallelujah! I thank God. How do you know God is on your side? Paul tells us, he said, to us, he that did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not freely give us all things? Don't you know Jesus was on our side when sin had a place called hell on reserve for us? But I thank God that Jesus hung between heaven and earth and he died on the cross because God was for us. He died on the cross and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. But I thank God that in living he loved me, dying he saved me, raising he justified us. Don't you know that if God raised him up, he'll raise you out of your sickness? Don't
you know that if God raised him up, he'll raise you out of your pain. All you gotta do is pray, I'll trust you. I'm gonna trust you. Anybody gonna trust him? Yes! 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 I'll trust you. I may have to cry sometime. I've lost some loved ones. I've had some folk walk away from me. But I will. I will. I will. I'm going to trust you, Lord. If God be for us, who will be against us? Keep you cool. Keep you cool. Don't let it worry you. Don't let it bother you. What you're going through right now is only a test of your faith. Don't let it bother you. Quit laying awake at night. If God is for you, he's more than the world against you. Sickness may rise. Pains may be mounting. Your losses in the flesh and in the natural may be mounting up. But keep your cool. Trouble expects you to lose your mind. Trouble expects you. Pain expects you to exemplify the things of the world. But we who have Christ in our lives have a treasure beyond the price of rubies. Can you imagine where you would be if you did not have the Spirit of God speak in comfort? In those times of rain and pain. But because God loves you, he helps you keep your cool. Matter of fact, you can smile and people not even know what's going on in your life. He keeps you so covered that you escape the dryness. The lack of moisture that should surround you when you feel the tangible blessing of God in life. But has anybody ever had the presence of the Holy Spirit come to you in your room? Speak to your heart and remind you, fight on. Fight on. Fight on. Fight on. We extend an invitation right now. Somebody in this room needs to let go of something. It's a weight. It's bearing down on you. It's holding you down. You need to know you can get out from under that weight right now. God is able to get under that weight with you and to help you lift it. Maybe there's some things in your life that you did not cause, but you have felt the impact of. God wants you to know today that you can keep your cool in him. Not in yourself, not in your resources, not in your friends, but it's only in him that you're going to find the strength and the comfort that you need to survive this season. Be clear, there is a real enemy who wants to destroy your life. But all praise be to God. He is a liar. And the truth is not in him. You can come as a candidate for baptism. Christian experience, go by letter from another church. Come by watch care as a student. But whatever your condition is, we don't want you to stay
in that place. Maybe you need prayer for strength to trust God and to look past your problems. You got some help. You got some help.